Proverbs 31, verses 25 to 27. Proverbs 31, 25 to 27. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. Let's pray as we come to this portion of Scripture. Let's pray. Our Father, we do pray that you would help us all to receive your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And thank you through the entrance of your word, you give light and you give understanding even to the simple. We thank you for the blessing of having Holy Scripture. Help me now to preach this text faithfully, clearly, accurately, in a way that's applicable to your people. And help me to be a blessing to them. And may they, with receptive hearts, receive your word. Give us the energy we need so that we can be attentive to your truth. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have been working through Proverbs 31, and we have been on the Proverbs 31 woman. This is the fourth sermon that I'm entitling A Virtuous Wife, Part 4. And so we will see in these verses descriptions of a virtuous wife, which I'm getting from verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. And so we'll see in these verses some key realities, some key truths of what God defines as a virtuous, God-fearing wife. These are some of the things that God sees as valuable in women if they are going to be virtuous wives. And these things are not written in Proverbs 31 to beat women down, to belittle them, to make them feel terrible about themselves, but to motivate them and to encourage them to be all that God wants them to be in Christ, so that they can, by the grace of God, working through them by the Holy Spirit, grow to be virtuous women, so they can be virtuous women. So the main point of this sermon is, a virtuous woman is worry-free, wise, and watchful. A virtuous woman is worry-free, wise, and watchful. First point, a virtuous woman is worry-free. A virtuous woman is worry-free. Second point, a virtuous woman is wise. A virtuous wife is wise. So a virtuous wife is worry-free. First point, a virtuous wife is wise. Third point, a virtuous wife is watchful. A virtuous wife is watchful. So again, my first point, a virtuous wife is worry-free. So this woman, who's described again as a virtuous wife in verse 10, far above rubies, is described in verse 25 as having strength and honor as her clothing. We saw in earlier verses how she physically clothes herself with fine linen and purple, that she is a woman that cares about her external adornment. But here we see strength and clothing are used as metaphors for inward beauty. She is a woman who has strength and has honor or dignity. We see the reality of her strength. She's a woman that is strong in the sense that because she has trust in the God of all strength. And so she has moral virtue, moral character. She is a woman of moral strength because she trusts in the God that is all powerful. So she is a woman of godly strength. She is a woman of conviction. So when we think about someone being strong, we can think about someone who's a woman of strong conviction. She's a woman that is not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, but she's a woman that's grounded in the truth, and therefore she wears strength because of God's power as her clothing. She's also a woman of honor, a woman of dignity, not because she's prideful, not because she is arrogant, but because she is a woman that is marked by the virtues of the Word of God. She is marked by godly characteristics, so she's an honorable woman. When you see her, when you interact with her, when you would be with her, she's a woman that is dignified. She is honorable. She is a woman that, by the way, she carries herself because of her inward beauty, is a woman that is honorable. And these are things described in verse 25 as her clothing. Strength and honor are her clothing. Her inward beauty is marked by a moral strength, a woman of conviction, and honor because of who she is in the inside that flows out. And then it says, because she is a woman of strength and honor, moral conviction, because she's a woman of dignity and virtue, because of that, she shall rejoice in time to come. This is where I'm getting worry-free from. This woman is a woman who is marked by when she looks at the future, when she looks at the unknown, when she looks at what might come upon her, she is not racked with fear, anxiety, worry, or discontentment. What is she marked by? A rejoicing, a gladness in time to come. Why? Because she trusts God. Because, as we see in verse 30, she fears the Lord. She is a woman that when she thinks about the future, she doesn't know what the future will hold. But as it's famously said, she knows who holds the future. And therefore, when she looks at the future, she knows that God is in control. And she knows that the God who is faithful to her now will also be faithful to her then. She's a woman that can look to the future without the debilitating and crushing anxiety, fear, worry that can so easily come upon a person. She can look to the future with rejoicing and with gladness and with a smile because she knows that all things work together for her good. And so she is a woman because strength and honor are her clothing that doesn't fret about the future, but actually rejoices about the future because she trusts in the God of providence. If you turn with me to Psalm 37, Psalm 37, we see here these realities of this exhortation not to fret, which is another way of saying not to worry, not to be overcome with anxiety. So Psalm 37, a Psalm of David, verses 1 through 4 say, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." So the exhortation is don't fret about evildoers. Don't be envious about the workers of iniquity. Or verse 7. Look at verse 7 in the same chapter. It says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of a man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm." And so we see the exhortation not to fret, not to be overcome by anxiety, not to be overcome by worry. Because fretting, what does it cause? Only harm. That's what it says. Do not fret. It only causes harm. It's similar to what Jesus says when Jesus talks about not fearing what you eat, what you'll drink, what you'll wear. The Gentiles think about those things. Your heavenly Father knows that you already need those things. Because he says, does being anxious add any time to your life? Does it add any cubit to your span of life? Does worrying actually help you? And the answer, of course, is no. And so we see here in other places of Scripture, the exhortation not to fret, not to worry, not to be overcome by fearful emotions, because we know the God who controls the future. So this godly woman is able to look to the future, and because of moral strength and moral dignity as a woman, she's able to look to the future with rejoicing and not with fretting and fear. That's what this woman is marked by. And how can she be marked by that? Not because she has because she's better than everyone else and just a cut above. It's because she fears the Lord. She trusts the Lord. She has confidence in the Lord, and therefore she trusts in the God who controls the future. Maybe you know someone, and you don't even have to know the reason why it reason why, but maybe you have a person in your life who, if they ask you for your car keys, you would not even question it because you trust them so much. If they say, "I need your car keys for a little bit, I'll bring them back," you, as quick as possible, say, "All right, here you go, take them. I'll see you in a few hours." Why would you do that? Because you trust the person so much. And therefore, you don't need to know their reasons. You don't have to know why they're doing it. You don't have to know exactly what they're going to do with your car. But because you know the character of the person and you trust them so much, you know that whatever they're going to do with the car is for a good reason, because they're that trustworthy. My beloved brethren, a human is nothing in comparison to the living God. And we don't have to know all of God's reasons why he does this or that or the other. But what we do know is every reason of what he does is for our good. And therefore, we can trust that anything he brings about to us, anything he does with our life, is because it's for our benefit at that time. We might not understand it. We might not know all the reasons. But what we do know, it's for our good. Because we know that God, who's doing it to us, is good, does good, and will only do us good if we love him and are called according to his purpose. And that type of woman, or that type of man, that type of boy, that type of girl, can rejoice in time to come, because they know the God who controls the future. It would be very bad if the God who reigned over heaven and earth was evil and tyrannical. But the God of heaven and earth is kind, benevolent, gracious, and loving, and only means us good. And therefore, this woman who is marked by that conviction was able to rejoice in time to come. She was a God-fearing woman who trusted in the Lord, and therefore she could rejoice in time to come. Second point, a virtuous wife is wise. So she's not just worry-free because she rejoices in time to come. She's also wise. Verse 26 says, "She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness." So this woman, this God-fearing, virtuous wife and woman, she is a woman that when she opens her mouth, what you don't hear is evil, debauchery, wickedness, and foolishness. What you hear out of this woman's mouth is wisdom. When she opens her mouth, what comes out is pearls and jewels of godly wisdom. She is a wise woman. And that would make sense if this is a virtuous wife, that wisdom would come up. Because the theme of the book of Proverbs, we could say, is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1:7 and also Proverbs 9:10 is where we hear about wisdom. 1:7 about knowledge, Proverbs 9:10 about wisdom. And so this woman, because she fears the Lord, verse 30, she is a wise woman. She is a woman that is consumed with God's truth. She thinks God's thoughts after him, and therefore her thinking, her speaking is filled with scripture. She is a woman that is not going to be motivated or give you her own fancies, her own ideas, her own thoughts. But instead, she speaks the truth of the word of God because her mind and her heart are captivated by that. She is a word-driven woman because no one's wise unless they are rooted and grounded in the word. The only person that is wise is the one who's rooted and grounded in God's word. The word of God makes us wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And the word of God also makes us wise for sanctification, that we might live a life pleasing to God. So she is a wise woman. She's not dominated and governed by her emotions. She's not governed by her passions, her feelings, but she's governed by the truth of God in Christ. She is a wise woman. She is a woman marked by godly wisdom. But not only that, not only does she speak with wisdom, not only when you hear her, she's saturated with the word of God, and therefore what comes out is truth according to God. She's also a woman, it says, that on her tongue, is the law of kindness. So she's not just wise, she's also kind. She's a wise and kind woman, which in a woman and in a man, but in a woman, as we're talking about here, is a wonderful combination. When you have a woman who is wise, who's taking what she knows about God's word and applying it well, that's what wisdom is. It's applied knowledge. And she's also a woman marked by kindness, a cheerful disposition in doing other people good. That is a wonderful combination in a woman. A woman who knows how to apply truth and a woman who is cheerful in her disposition in doing good to others. So when she speaks, what comes out is graciousness, is kindness, is compassion, is love. She's not a woman that belittles and tears down and crushes people and has a sharp tongue, but she is a woman that speaks kindly to other people. On her tongue is the law of kindness. And why is she like this? Because her God is wise and because her God is kind. Because God is wise, this woman is wise. She imitates God. And because her God is kind, she imitates him in his kindness. She is a woman marked by wisdom and by kindness. These things are so valuable in a woman. A woman who is morally strong, who has moral convictions, who's not tossed to and fro, who's a woman that is respectable. And how this would look like practically, a woman who's honorable or respectable, going back to verse 25, is a woman that you're not embarrassed to bring to an event. You're not worried like, wow, this woman is going to say stuff off the wall and she's going to embarrass me. She's going to be terrible to be around. The people aren't going to want her there and we're going to leave embarrassed because she's not an honorable woman. But this woman is honorable and therefore she trusts in the Lord. And when she talks with people, what comes out is not foolishness, sin, iniquity, but what comes out of her mouth is wisdom and kindness. She is a woman that speaks with wisdom because she's filled with wisdom, because she's filled with God's word. And therefore, she also speaks with kindness. This is the type of woman that is a virtuous wife, a wise woman and a kind woman. But now third, a virtuous wife is watchful. A virtuous wife is watchful. Verse 27, it says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. This woman, we see that in different seasons of life, that's how I understand Proverbs 31, she's not doing all these things at the same exact time. These are epochs or seasons of her life. But one thing that she's always committed to as her priority is watching over the ways of her household. She is a housewife, a homemaker, a household manager. She is a woman that her priority is her home. Above everything else, she does buy fields, she does sell linen garments and sashes, she does do things like that, but her priority, her primary domain, her primary sphere of influence and care is for her own household. And her desire above everything else, under glorifying God, is making sure her household is well taken care of. She watches over the ways of her household. In our day and age, you wouldn't put this on a virtuous wife's resume. You wouldn't say she watches over the ways of her household. You might say she's a popular career woman. She has a lot of people that follow her. She has this and that. But this woman who is beautiful in God's eyes watches over the ways of her household. Her household's her priority. She doesn't find it to be a dread or something to be frowned upon. She actually sees it valuable to care for her household. She loves, as a godly woman, to care for her husband and care for her children. She loves to watch over her household. It is something that she finds great pleasure in caring for her husband and her children and watching over the ways of her household. And then we also see, describing it, it says, and does not eat the bread of idleness. So this isn't a woman who's lazy, who doesn't do anything, who just sits around. This is a woman who is productive in the home. She is, as some translation puts it, a worker at home. So she's working, she's just working in and for the home. She is a woman that cares for her household. So she is a woman that does not eat the bread of idleness. Idleness, of course, is a synonym basically for laziness, for someone who's a sloth, who isn't doing anything. But she is not that type of woman. She is a woman that is productive, knowing that caring for her household is important work. She knows that what she does for her home, for the good of her family, is valuable. Sometimes women can think, oh, am I just wasting my life and my time by just doing all this in the home? And God actually says it's valuable. It's a virtuous wife's quality that she's in the home, watching over it and not eating the bread of idleness. It's not something to be put down. It's something to be celebrated, because this is what God calls a virtuous wife. A woman's faith in Jesus Christ is most clearly seen and manifested within the context of her home, with her husband and her children and caring for the home. That's where her Christian life is most clearly seen and most clearly demonstrated. And therefore, a wife who loves Christ, her desire will be to be all that God wants her to be within the context of watching over the ways of her household. This is what a woman does. But we live in a day and age where many people have rejected or have not practiced, even amongst professing Christians, the reality of women being household managers or being homemakers or working at home. And I just want to address some of the common ones as I was thinking about what are some of the key reasons why people reject homemaking? Why is it such a controversial thing and something that people would say that's not that important? I think first reason I give, maybe not the first in priority, but the first one I put down, people can think that a woman caring for her home as a homemaker was a cultural reality. That it's not a binding reality on women today. It was just for a particular time, particular place, and it doesn't have relevance today. So a woman being a homemaker or not, a woman caring for her home or not, was a completely cultural reality that is not binding for today. This can be a reason why people think it's not that important for a woman to prioritize this or for young women to train to be this. Well, what's the answer to that? Well, we know Proverbs 31 is a standard for all Christian women, all believing women. It's a standard of what God calls, whether you lived in that time or after that time, what God calls a virtuous wife. So this isn't cultural. This is what God thinks is a virtuous wife wherever you live. There are some things that are uniquely to our time, but the principles are universal. The principles are universal. Also in 1 Timothy 5, verse 14, where it exhorts the younger widows to marry, bear children, and manage the house, the reason given is not so they might disrupt the culture around them, but so that the adversary might not speak reproachfully. Or in Titus chapter 2, the reason why Paul, by the Spirit, tells the older women to teach the younger women, to train them, to admonish them to be homemakers, is not so the culture will like them better, but so the word of God may not be blasphemed. So these are the reasons given in Scripture for why women's priority, as we've seen in other places, it doesn't mean a woman can never make any income. We see this woman is making income, but why her priority must be her home. It's because this is what God calls beautiful in Proverbs 31. Because 1 Timothy 5:14 and Titus 2 are not about the culture, but about things that transcend culture. Another common thing that people might say is, well, if the wife and mother is in the home full time, we could never live on one income. This is how people can think. We could never live on one income. This can be a reason. We could never do it. We could never make it. We couldn't have what we need. However, ordinarily, that type of thinking is because of things that they think they need, they don't actually need. Because things that they think that they need, maybe all the cars, the vacations, maybe the size of the home, etc., are not really needs. And so instead of sacrificing for the good of the home and the children, the husband, the father, a woman thinks that we have to do this because otherwise we won't make it. So a woman can think, if we don't have two incomes, we won't make it. Could there be times, maybe in a season, where someone does, that is a real reality? Sure, it can happen. But ordinarily, if we are willing to give up things that are just desires and not necessities, like food, clothing, and shelter, we can go with a lot less. And it's really what we value. It's all about priorities. Many people in our culture, you know what they value? Nice houses, nice cars, nice vacations. That's why they say they can't live with one income. Because they want luxury life. But if someone is willing to say, because I believe this is what Scripture says and because it's so valuable, I will be okay driving an older car. I will be okay with not the best house. I will be okay with maybe not that many vacations, if many, maybe not many at all for a short time. Because I value being in the home. And the husband values that. And so we have to say to ourselves, are we willing to sacrifice for the good of a wife and mother being in the home for her husband and for her children? That's the key question. Because I think people can live on one income if they're willing to make some sacrifices. That's the key thing. That's the key thing. I remember in Bible class 2 years ago, I opened it up for some Q&A, and homemaking came up a lot because it's a controversial subject in a Christian school. Very controversial. And so I brought up this reality about, because I think we're talking about income and stuff, and I talked about this, the reality of people can make sacrifices, give up stuff, sell stuff. It wasn't received super well, but I still hold to it today, that people can give up things if they value it. It's all a matter of priority. It's all a matter of priority. What's another one? Another reason people can say for a woman not focusing on being a homemaker is because a woman is wasting her gifts and talents by being a homemaker. Isn't a woman worth more, they might say, than just being home, caring for the home? Isn't that demeaning to the woman to care for her home and only be doing that? Well, a woman using her gifts and talents to glorify God, serve her husband and children in the home is never a waste. Never a waste. Her love and care for her husband and children by being in the home is priceless compared to what she could do outside the home. A woman glorifies God by being feminine and seeking his role, God's role for her as a submissive wife, caring mother, and productive homemaker. A woman never wastes her talents by being in the home. She actually can flourish the best there because that is where God wants a woman to thrive. So actually doing that is the best way where a woman can thrive, because there are pressures outside in the world that are very difficult on women, and they can thrive best when they are in the sphere that God wants them to be, managing their own household. And therefore, it should not be a reality to say a woman's wasting her talents. You could say that a woman would not be using her talents as she should if she doesn't focus on being a homemaker. Because that's where God wants her. God has given women unique skills and abilities that he hasn't given to men so that they can be homemakers, so that they can nurture children and love their husband. And so no one should ever think they're wasting their life as a woman if they devote themselves to their home. They're not wasting their life. They're using their life very well. And on judgment day, they will realize that their life was not a waste if they cared for their home well for the glory of God. Another reason people can give: what if my husband dies? Or what if he gets sick? That can be a reason. What if this happens? What if my husband dies? Or what if he gets sick? Well, I think what I would say in short would be, we shouldn't live on what ifs, because there are so many what ifs in life. We should go and obey God and trust the results to him. There are prudent things a person can do. They can get life insurance. They can do different things to care for their family as a husband and father. But we cannot live by what ifs. When God tells us to do something and we say, but what if this, then that's faithless, not obedience. Faith says, this is what God says, and I'm going to trust the results to him. And if that does happen, I'm going to trust that doing it God's way is always better, even if something like that happened. So we cannot live our Christian life on what ifs. We cannot live our Christian life on what if this happens, because then we might not do many things that God tells us to do, because we'll always find a justification for why we can't do it. If it's something that we don't want to do, it's so easy for us to say, what if this, what if that? And we make the exception the rule. It's so easy for people. If they want to get out of something, they say, what about this? And instead of obeying God. Sometimes people, this is my last one, might have an objection to women prioritizing homemaking, because they think that what being a housewife means or what being a homemaker means is a woman can never make any money whatsoever at any time for any reason. But if you read Proverbs 31, you say that can't be true. That can't be true according to Proverbs 31. Because this woman, who was caring for her household, who was devoted to her home, also at seasons of life, as God gave her opportunity, was also making income. was also bringing in income. So if a person hears homemaking as, if this person's making income, they're not being faithful to be a housewife, they haven't understood biblically what a housewife is. Because this woman, from her home and for her home, was making income. And so it's not wrong or sinful. So if a woman's objection is, but I want to help the family a little bit, I have this skill, let's say it's baking or doing this or doing that, that I can do very well and it can be a blessing to the family. If she thinks, I can never even think about that if I'm a homemaker, well, then she's not thinking truly biblically about what it means to be a homemaker. Because again, this woman was making income. It's not wrong for women to make income. It just becomes wrong with if it causes them to neglect their husband and their children in taking care of the home. And again, for everybody, it's not going to be wise. For a lot of people, it's not going to be wise, especially when you have young children in the home, for them to do anything like that, for them to make any income, especially if you have young children. But there's different seasons in life. And therefore, a woman should not feel condemned if she's making any income, because this woman was. But she should always say, is my making of this income helping or hindering me being a good wife, mother, and homemaker? She should always think that. Is this helping or hindering? Because a woman could have a side business from her home, making things, making maybe doing candles or doing something with baking and selling it or whatever it might be, or something, doing something from the home or even out of the home maybe for a few hours depending on the situation of life. But she should always say, is this helping the home or is this causing turmoil and friction and making it hard for my family? And I think as well, maybe, actually, I realize I didn't put this one down, but another one that I thought of, so I want to do this other one. Sometimes people object to homemaking because they think there's so little to do. They can think that. Because they think, okay, well, in this time period, they didn't have a washer, they didn't have a dryer, they didn't have all the luxuries we have. And therefore, I would feel bored all day if I'm a homemaker because I have so many things that can help me. Well, I think what that does is it undervalues all the things that a woman can be doing in the home. It undervalues all the good things she can be doing. She can be growing and learning more about ways to cook and ways to clean and doing this and doing that and focusing on other things that maybe she does have extra time because she has a washer, dryer, and a dishwasher. But that means she has extra time to care for her house even better. So a woman shouldn't think, I have no time, or I'm going to just have so much time. And I think those who have been homemakers would realize, yeah, it's not as easy as that. You might think you have a lot of time and then the time goes by. And so that objection that can come up a lot of times will fall flat, especially when you have young children in the home, especially when you have young children in the home. And so I think any reason that is given for a woman not prioritizing her home falls flat of what Scripture teaches. Falls flat of what Scripture teaches. We should encourage young women. You should be encouraged. Young women should be encouraged. That is good for them, and they're not wasting their life if they want to be a wife, mother, and homemaker. The world will tell them they're wasting their life. And if the church doesn't tell them, no, you're doing the right thing, then who will? If the church doesn't tell them they're doing a good thing, then who will? And therefore, women should be celebrated, encouraged, honored, and praised. If they say, I do not want to be this and that, I want to be a faithful wife, mother, and a manager of my home. That's a good desire. That's a blessed desire. And we should encourage that in our midst. But as we think about these things, as I've tried to do, any virtue that we see in a human, any virtue we see in a mere person, a mere man, a mere woman, is ultimately seen in our Lord Jesus Christ. If it's seen in a human, it's merely a reflection of the goodness of Jesus Christ. And how do we see the Lord Jesus Christ in these things? Who was the one who was marked by moral strength more than him? A man of conviction, a man of courage, who was never tossed to and fro by what others said. He was a man who knew the truth and he stood on it. And he was a man of honor and a man of dignity and a man that was respectable, a true man's man that was a respectable man. And he was, of all people, who could rejoice in time to come, so that even it says in the Scriptures, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He was able to look to the future, even on the cross, and find joy in it because he knew he was fulfilling God's purpose. And the Lord Jesus Christ as well is one, they said, no man ever spoke like this man. He was a man full of wisdom that they said, he's not like our scribes and our Pharisees. He preaches with authority because he's so wise. No man ever spoke like this man. And what man was so kind like Jesus to say to the woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. To the woman at the well who was living a sinful life, but took the time out, even though it was culturally unacceptable. He wasn't worried about that, but he showed mercy to the Samaritan woman in kindness. The woman who was crying and wiping her tears with her hair, and how he was showing such compassion to her. What a man full of kindness. And we know Jesus was kind because children don't like to be around people who are unkind. And they love being around Jesus. That's why they welcome. And the disciples said, no. He said, let the little children come to me. Why do the little children love to be with Jesus? Because he was so kind. Because he had such a warm disposition. And therefore, he was a man full of wisdom and of kindness. And he is one who truly watches over the ways of his household. And what is his household? The church. Because he intercedes for the church. He cares for the church. And his household, he will make sure everyone in his household makes it safely to glory. Because he does not eat the bread of idleness. He forever lives to make intercession for us. Jesus is the true virtuous man. He is the one that any virtue that we see in this woman is perfectly seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truly beautiful one. And so these realities, as we see here, ladies, your desire in Christ should be to grow in these things. You want to be a woman of moral strength. You want to be a woman of moral dignity. You want to be able more and more to rejoice in time to come. If you deal with fretting and worry, grow in your knowledge of the goodness of God and his kindness to you. Also, ladies, you should want to be growing in your knowledge of God's word so that you can be wise and kind. And what a value you will be if you grow in godly wisdom and godly kindness. What a value it will be to your husband, to your children, to your church family, to the lost, if you are a woman full of wisdom and full of kindness. And may the ladies here see what a value it is to being a woman who watches over the ways of her household, doesn't eat the bread of idleness. And may you encourage younger women of the blessing and value of watching over their household. That you would show them the value of it and you would praise them for their desire to be watchers of their home. It's a good desire and we should encourage it. We should praise it because God does. And then for the husbands, it should be your desire, as we'll see more explicitly next time I preach this, you should praise your wives when you see them modeling wisdom, kindness, strength, honor, rejoicing in time to come. You should praise them as you see these virtues, because your desire should be to encourage and strengthen your wife to be a godly, virtuous wife. So husbands, if you are a husband, you are responsible in part for the sanctification of your wife. That's what Ephesians 5 says, that a husband is to love his wife and to sanctify her by the word. And therefore, if you want your wife to be more virtuous, some of it falls on you because you are discipling your wife and you're going to get what you disciple. And if you want a virtuous wife, it's on you. Obviously, she's responsible before God for herself, but you have a responsibility to sanctify her and cleanse her by the washing of water by the word. And therefore, men, many times, they don't have the wife that they would desire more and more because they're not shepherding their wife like they ought. And therefore, men should desire more and more to praise their wives and to shepherd them with the word and to be spiritual leaders in their homes so that their wives would be encouraged to be all that God wants them to be. And so if a man, as I was listening to a sermon today about marriage, he said, if a man comes and starts complaining about his wife, he's actually pointing the finger at himself. He said it's something like that because a lot of times he's partially to blame because he has not been shepherding her as he should be. And so us men, you should shepherd your wives to be all that God wants them to be so that we would be good spiritual leaders for God's glory and for their good. May God help us all in Christ be more and more of what he wants us to be, knowing that only in Christ and only by the power of the Spirit can we be what God wants us to be. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We pray you bless it to these people. Thank you for this time. and help us all to walk in your paths. And thank you for Jesus, the one who truly exemplifies these characteristics in perfection. In Jesus' name, amen.